Bible, friends, is perhaps a book that you've never had the opportunity of reading for yourself. Give you an opportunity this Monday morning to read at least, well, an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel, yours to read and do with as you will. It is, of course, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or obligation to you yourself. But of course, it's a very important book, and it's very important that you read it for yourself and not just take a second-hand knowledge, as I say, hearsay, what other people tell you the Bible says. It's important because, well, it's on the basis of what God has written in the Bible that He is going to judge every single one of us, you and myself included. And so I urge you to at least examine the evidence, see what God has to say, and who knows, maybe perhaps you'll be surprised to find, for instance, that it's about a person and other than a religion, that is. It's about a person and what that person has done, has accomplished, and of course, more importantly, what he can do for you. What God has done, believe me, for me, He can do for you, for anybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, really is a summation of the Bible's redemptive message, how that God sent His Son into the world to die on a cross, that through Him you might know forgiveness, reconciliation to God, that you might know the safety and security that God's salvation brings to a person, safety and security that is for time and for eternity. Eternity is an awful long time. You can put your hand into it and take out a million years, and you're still left with eternity to go. So the question, where will you spend eternity, is still a very valid, a very good question. What is your answer to it? Of course, in the Bible, if I might read just one or two words for you of some importance. Maybe it's a long time since you heard it read, maybe never. Listen, if you will, to these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then, of course, it goes on to tell us that at just the right time, when we were weak, impotent, helpless, God sent His Son. And, of course, as you read in front of me here, Christ died for the ungodly. It's about Christ. It's the good news about Christ. And of course it tells us what he did. He died, and who he died for the ungodly, those separated from God, those lost in sin, in nature's dark night. Faith, you see, faith that is in Jesus Christ and the Son of God, brings many benefits to a person. It brings many privileges to a person. But of course, all of them flow from a right relationship with God. Until you've got that, you've got none of those privileges. You've got none of those benefits, none whatsoever. You may have benefits from the state system. You may live off it, and you may do so quite handsomely if you learn to work the system, or so I'm told. I wouldn't know myself. But the benefits that come from God, the blessings and the privileges, well, you get none of them until you have been justified, that is, brought into a right relationship, a right standing before God. And this, of course, ought to, well, at the very least, you ought to give it some very, very serious thought. From the tree of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, there is fruit abundant. And of course, it comes to a person. It is accessed by faith alone, and of course faith alone in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified, brought into a right relationship with God, how? Well, by faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Bible says. And so, therefore, we have peace with God. But, of course, the condition of man itself would tell you, reveals to you the deep need that mankind has for peace with God. You perhaps maybe join a number of people in wondering, or maybe even expressing it, where on earth is there to be peace found on the earth? You know, it's still the greatest need of mankind to find peace with God, and of course the peace of God, which the Bible says surpasses all understanding. But how can there ever be peace in the world? How can there be peace in your society, in your homes, your families, and even in your own heart and life? How can there be peace until there is peace with God? There can never be peace in your hearts and homes. It's an impossibility that there be peace in the world. Wars and rumors of wars, there shall always be, Jesus says. Why? Because mankind's in a fallen, sinful, hostile condition to God. And as long as man is hostile to God, at enmity against God, well, there can never be peace in the world in the midst of humankind, and there can never be peace, of course, in your own hearts, lives, and families. So first of all, for us to enjoy peace, peace must be made with God. Sin, you see, breeds quarrels between man and man. I mean, you see this today the world over. You know, in spite of all the advances of modern technology and science that you so much put your trust in, it still can't meet your basic basic need for peace, still slaughtering one another day by day, by the score, by the hundreds, the thousands, slaughtering one another, fighting with one another. Man still cannot live with his fellow man, still can't live with his own conscience, still can't live, I declare to you, without peace, having, knowing peace with God. You see, it's only when you've made peace with God, laid down the weapons of your warfare, and stopped fighting against God, it's only then that you will know the peace of God. You see, it flows out of a right relationship with God. And so you see, it's faith in Jesus Christ that justifies a person, that makes a person right with God, that removes the guilt, you see. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, has made peace by the blood of his cross, dying for the ungodly, dying for sinners, in order that our sins might be atoned for, washed away, washed and made clean. And of course, it's when our sins are laid upon Jesus, and our guilt too, that's what he died for, not for sins he had done, not because there was any sin or fault in him, but because of your sins, your faults and mine. He died, you see, to make that peace by the blood of his cross. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So it's when you come to the Christ of the cross, the blood of the cross, and there, of course, lay down your hostility, your enmity against God, and receive the forgiveness of God. The peace has been made, you see, but it has to be consciously, deliberately and willfully received by you. Jesus Christ has made that peace by dying on the cross. And this peace, of course, well, it's an end of that hostility. And when you've made peace with God, you begin to know the peace of God, supernatural, insurpassable peace of God, flooding, tranquilizing the heart and mind, entering into a friendship with God instead of being an enemy of God. That's how we're counted, you see, until this peace has been made between you and God. You're classed as an enemy of God. Here's an amazing thing, that Christ died not just for not for those who are friends of God, but he died for those who are his enemies. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't give one of my children, I wouldn't give one of my sons for the best of you, never mind the worst of you. But Christ died for, as the Bible tells us, while we were still enemies of God. There's the amazing height, there's the amazing, the astronomical loving kindness of God. So you see, you either have God for your worst enemy or for your best friend. But Jesus died to make peace. He died in order that you might know friendship with God, that you might know his loving kindness, and that you might have peace with God and know the peace of God. But there's only only one single channel by which this peace comes to a man or woman, and it's through Jesus Christ. God had only one son, and he gave him up, he gave him into the world, and he gave him up to die on a cross, sent his son into the world for that very purpose, and that's the only peace. One son, one savior, one appointed redeemer, one person who can mediate between you and God. There is no other. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, not any other religious guru, but Christ and Christ alone. There is but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, that's the way, that's the condition of man, the turmoil, the slaughtering, the fighting, the wars, the starvation, the greed, the violence, all the bad stuff that you complain about day by day. Oh, you see, would that there were peace in the world, that there were an end of all this stuff, that there were an end of all the fighting and violence, beheading of man by his fellow man. Well, it can never come to an end until peace is made with God. Then, and then alone, will you know the peace of God. Jesus Christ is the peace maker, the only mediator. He is our peace, and he is the maintainer of it. But you must first needs close with him, draw near to him, receive him. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, entrance into the family of God, reconciled to God, and at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible says, we have peace with God. Faith in Jesus Christ brings you into a right relationship with God, and from then on, you see, the privileges, the blessings, the comforts, the benefits, you see, flow into the heart from God. But you get nothing, you see, nothing of those benefits, nothing of those privileges, until you're into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. But then, of course, another privilege, another benefit that's afforded to those in a right relationship with God, those, that is, who have believed in, trusted in God's Son, his appointed mediator, Jesus Christ, is access to God. You see, you're cut off from that. The Bible says, sin, your iniquity, have separated between you and God. You have and can have no communication with God. That's an impossibility. Your righteousness, as the Bible says, they are like filthy rags. You see, we're unclean, we're defiled, rebellious creatures, and as a result of it, God will have nothing to do with us until we're right with him through his Son Jesus Christ. But God, you see, has made the way. He has made it possible, you see, for you to be brought into a right relationship. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you see, is God's provision for rebels. It's his provision for unclean and wicked people who are cut off from from God, that they might be brought near to God, and that you might have access to God, that you might be able to communicate with God. But you see, it's all of grace. You see, you can't work for it, you can't be good for it, morally upright for it, respectable for it, you can't even be religious for it. You see, the moment that you say that you have to do something to gain this access to God, it's no longer of grace. It's works, you see. And God has declared that no human being will ever be justified by his or her works. There's nothing that you can do and nothing that you can offer to God that would make you right with God, give you peace with God, and give you access to God. It's of grace, you see. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and so they are, always has been, and always will be. Young lady asked the question a few weeks ago, a neighbor of mine. She said, why do people have to die? Because we're all sinners, that's why. It's appointed for man to die once. The wages of sin is death. In the day that you eat of that fruit, said God to our first parents, you will surely die. And that's the result. Death, you see, comes to all men. The soul that sins, it shall die. But then, of course, the Bible goes on to say that the gift of God, the grace, you see, the grace gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's sheer, pure, unadulterated gift, you see, and all you have to do in order to receive it is to stretch out the hand of faith and receive God's Son, Jesus Christ, and his finished and atoning work, and that peace with God and access to God becomes yours, and you become, you see, a receiver too of the loving kindness of God. You begin, you see, instead of being ungodly, you begin, the process begins, you see, of your being made like God, godly instead of ungodly, and you have this wonderful access to God. But you see, again, it's by faith, you see. Christ is the author of this, you see. He's the principal agent. You can't get it without him. You can't get anything from the hand of God without Christ. You can come in any name, any religious name, or any religious institution you like, or they'll make you different, and they'll change you perhaps to some degree, but that's not the issue. They don't make you, they'll never make you right with God. It's not by religion. And that's why I started out by telling you the Bible, you see, is essentially about a person. The golden thread that runs all the way through. Have a look, sir. Thank you. The golden thread that runs all the way through, you see, the Bible is that of Jesus Christ, the person of God's Son. It's not about a religion per se. It's about a person, Jesus Christ. He's the author of salvation. It's by believing. It's by trusting. It's by leaning upon, depending upon Christ, you see, to make you right with God, to wash you and cleanse you of your sin, and to open up the way, you see, into the presence of God, to remove all the hindrances. And that's what he has done, you see. That's what he has done for rebels. That's what he's done for enemies of God, to give them, to grant them this access to God's throne, to be able to communicate with your Maker. He brings you, you see, when you trust him, he'll bring you into this happy state and condition of being a friend of God. I tell you, there's no peace like it. You know, that to lay your head down on the pillow of the night time and know that all is well between you and your Maker. I tell you, there is no peace like it. To know, to understand that even were the universe to disintegrate, even were the world to cataclysmically fall apart, you would still be safe in the arms of Jesus, the only Savior and the only one who can bring you into this happy state and condition of peace with God and access to God. And it's a very happy standing, you see. It's a joy, Jesus says, that he gives to those who trust in him, that no one can take away. It's not based upon circumstances, you know, having a plastic card or money to spend, having alcohol inside you, some sexual experience, some human relationship. You see, most of us are quite happy when we've got all these things, but take them away and we are very miserable, are we not? And you know, people, you know, we're going on holiday perhaps, looking forward to a nice holiday in a warm climate instead of this miserable cold. Well, that's happiness, but without it, you see, we're all as miserable as sin. You know, that saying that we have, we point to somebody and we say, he or she is as miserable as sin, because we know fine and well there's nothing like sin to make us miserable. But Jesus takes the sin away. He takes away the cause of the misery, and then we are happy, you see, in a happy relationship with God. It's a happy standing, and no one can take it away from you. No one can rob you of it, or they might persecute you, and they can even perhaps kill your body, but that's the worst that they can do. Jesus tells us that we ought to fear God, who has the ability not only to kill our bodies, but to cast our souls into eternal flames. So you see, people, it's a wonderful joy and happiness that a right relationship with God brings. Because you see, Jesus, he has the ability and the authority to discharge us from all our guilt. You see, nobody else has that power, has that authority. The Son of Man, Jesus says, he alone has the authority to say to a person, your sins are forgiven. There is no religious person in all this world, be he pope or priest or a prophet or reverend even, no vicar, no priest, no man on this planet save the man Christ Jesus has that authority to absolve you of your sins. So I say to you, unless you've heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus himself, you're still in your sin, though you may be religious. So you see, people, it's a wonderful state and condition to have access with God, to be in a friendship relationship with God, knowing and enjoying his loving kindness, his forgiveness, his pardon, his mercy. Seek the Lord, he tells us, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, but abundantly pardon. Such is the goodness of God, and has been evidenced, you see, to you in the sending of his Son, in the historical, the real historical facts that Jesus died for sinners, was buried, and after the third day rose again from the dead for sinners, just as the Bible said that he would do, predicted long, long before that he would do. So, people, so it happened. And the person who puts their trust, you see, in Jesus Christ and in those historical facts will know peace with God, the peace of God, access to God, and be brought into this joyful, this so very, very happy relationship with God. It's all about relationship, not religion. Relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you have the hope of glory. You see, blessings untold for this world and this life that you're living now. But then beyond that, you see, we all must die because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as the Bible says. But you see, it's not a black hole at the end of it. It's not, finished. It's not 6 feet of earth and it's all over and unknown. No, God tells us it's appointed. You have an appointment with death. You got an appointment with the dentist, the doctor, the hairdresser. You can postpone it. You can put it off. You don't have to go with it. But it is appointed for man to die once. That's an appointment God has made, and it's unchangeable. So you see, there's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's an hour, there's a moment when you will breathe your last, and you'll go out of this world feet first and naked, the same way that you came into it. You never saw a Pickford's van following a hearse. You won't take all the stuff that you so treasure in life. You won't be taking it with you. It's appointed for man to die once. After this, says God, then comes the judgment, the day of accountability. And of course, we must, whether you believe it or not, we will all give account to God. You have a sense of judgment, don't you? You judge other people. You pick your newspaper up. You read about some villainous crime, some inhumanity against your fellow man. And what do you say? He ought to be hanged. He ought to be locked up in the quay, thrown away, you say. You judge other people. Where did you get that sense of judgment from? You got it from the judge of all the earth, who made man in his own image. You see, just as you judge other people, God will one day bring you to judgment. So you see, it's appointed, and after this appointed, your day of death, and after this then comes the judgment, you stand before God. But it's the gospel and the gospel alone, the good news of Jesus Christ, God's Son dying for sinners and rising again to justify them, make them right with God. It's through the gospel, the good news about Jesus, a man's made right with God and therefore has hope beyond this life, has what the Bible calls the hope of glory. When this world scene is done, you're finished with it. Let me put it bluntly, let me put it plainly and simply to you, so that even a child could understand. Yeah? You believe the gospel, you believe the good news about Jesus. One day you will die and you will go to heaven and be with God in glory forever. But if you reject the gospel, you reject God's Son and the author of salvation, one day you will die, you will leave this world, and you will be allotted a place in the damnation of hell forever. Two options, two ways, two roads, two paths, a narrow road and a broad road, a popular one and one not so popular. The broad road, the popular one, leads to eternal destruction, says Jesus, but the narrow road leads to eternal life. That's the pathway of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you are in a world, living in a world full of utter hopelessness. You have young people by the score, month by month, that are taking their own lives. Why? Why does a person take their own life? Because they've run out of hope. You can't live with hope. Some of you, your hopes are not realistic. You hope something will turn up. You hope the doctor can cure you. You hope you'll win the lottery. You hope something will come round the corner. Utter hopelessness and despair some people live with all their lives long. But people, here's the good news. There is hope, not just for this world, but for the world to come. The hope of glory, you see, that comes to those who are in a right relationship with God, in a happy standing with God, friends with God, peace with God, access to God, and the hope of glory. It's a real, it's a sure, it's a concrete hope, it's a definite hope. But of course, there can be no hope without that grace that God offers to you. There can be. That's why you live in a world full of hopelessness. Because you lack the grace of God, the kindness of God that would save you and bring you into this wonderful hope. And the assurance, you see, the assurance deep in your heart, knowing that all is well with your soul, and even in the face of death. Oh, people, did we ever live in such times as these? The jihadists, the slaughtering murderers, and Ebola is the new disease on the scene. AIDS, they tell me, has taken 40 million people since it first broke on the scenes. That's a lot of people. And then there's the cancer. Is there a family in the land, I ask you, that hasn't got somebody who has been touched with this dreadful, awful disease? But what about you? If you were given a death sentence from the medics, even this very day, how could you face it? Can you face death? Are you ready for it? Our people die well, said John Wesley. Why? Well, because they had a hope, you see, not just for this world, but beyond this world, for eternity. The hope of glory is what the Bible calls it. For those who have entered into peace with God, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Son of God has made peace for them. You see, what makes death terrifying is that we come to it in an unforgiven state and condition, because our sins are untreated, that's why, and we are faced with the judge of all the earth. You know it in your hearts, people. And of course, well, if you do not believe that I am He, the Savior, that is, says Jesus, you will all die in your sins. And to die in your sins is a terrifying thing. That's why the Bible calls death the King of Terrors. Because that's exactly what it is. Without a Savior, without your sins forgiven, and without you knowing that you have a home in heaven. So you see, there's hope for the future, whatever the present holds for you. Maybe a whole heap of trouble, you say. Nothing but trouble. You talk about hell, you say, my life's already that. No, it's not. No, people, it's not. You don't understand. You don't know. Jesus very graphically pictures for us the realities of the torments of hell. No, you're not there yet. Maybe in the future, I hope not, but not yet. No, people, you can be saved from that. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to save you from your sins and their full final consequence, the damnation of hell. But whatever your troubles might be in this present world, I tell you, even in the midst of them, even in the midst of the worst storm that life can throw at you, you can know peace, tranquility of heart and mind. The Bible says it surpasses all understanding. You can't know what it's like until you experience it. You have to taste, you see, and see that the Lord is indeed good. So you see, it's a hope that doesn't make a person ashamed. It's a hope that, well, the Bible says, it doesn't deceive, it doesn't disappoint. Many of you, I dare say, if you've lived for 5 minutes in this world, your expectations have already been dashed, and your hopes have been disappointed. But this is a hope, the Bible says, God promises us, that will not disappoint. You will not be brought to shame. But of course, for those who reject the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, for them, well, one day you will be covered in utter and absolute shame and disappointment. Think about it, people. You're standing before God's judgment throne, and you've got no defense, no arguments now. They're all blown away, and you're standing there in utter silence before God, guilty and condemned, and you hear those most awful words recorded in the Bible, "Get out of my sight, I never knew you." What a disappointment, people, when you have heard the good news, you have been told about God's salvation, but you would have none of it. Ah, people, I bid you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Put your trust, put your hope, put your confidence in Him, and you'll never be disappointed, never be put to shame, never hear those most awful and dreadful words, but you will hear those other words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So I bid you, as Jesus does, be reconciled to God. Put your trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and know the hope of glory, access to God, peace with God, justified, made right through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting. That's all that's required, commanded of you this afternoon. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command and His promises, and you shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved. So, people, is it not worth all that, not worth your looking into the Bible? Reading for yourself, seeing that these things are so, check it out. I ask you not just to take my word for these things, but take God's word. Read for yourself, see that they are so, and trust in God's wonderful promise, the promise of salvation, the hope of glory, forgiveness, pardon. People, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Well, it's offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like one, come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy upon your souls. Madam?
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. You're welcome.